Sorry, I'm your first project.
Kelohe a kakoa pauloa e kia nai nā kakou e launa nei no keia kakariaka mahalo nui au kou kaira ana mai e mahalo nui e nā lala o keia aha nei mahalo nui au kou ko o kupaa me ka haawi ani i kou manawa mahalo no keia launa ano kakou e keia la kakou e halawai nei no ke kuka kama iri o pono ka halawe pono e pili ana no ka malama ane nga iwi kukuna nga iwi kahiko o ia aina o ahu nei mahalo ni auko aloha o wau no o hinale moana wangkalu your chair and leo for moko pona aloha
Oh no, oh no, coming out Olana Mill, like Kanaka no ka aina he nui, a large landowner representative.
Mahalo. Mahalo.
Aloha, I'm Chuck Airhorn, land owner, developer representative, just like my friend here.
Mahalo to both of you for being examples of what large landowner representation can be in terms of advocacy for our iwi kupuna. Mahalo ni ya olua.
Mahalo sa oi. Kali Fermentis Ko'olauloa Moku Rep, but I wish I was actually a large landowner.
Moku
I'll take it.
Aloha, aloha, o mana Kalilani Kateres. I am from, represent the Moku Apela.
Aloha. Ke oru oru. No ho o maka ana ka vele ane ke papahana. Make make no au e noi haa haa ia oe e hale aloha. Ke oru oru e vehe mai paho oe I ke ia hala vai ana. Me ke kahi leo ho o vehe, ai ole he leo pule paha. Ai ano ia oe.
E na kupuna oho vai I. Mai kamanawa o a kea I a manawa. Ke ku nei mako makapo hivi o papa. Ua hanau ia mako mai ia papa mai a ho I ho ia papa. Nā mako e mālami nā iwi o kō mako kupuna. Nā nā moho e mālami kō mako iwi o mau kalokahi o kāko no laila. E ho mai ka ike, e ho mai ka no e au, e ho mai ki aloha, e ho mai ka ikai ka āmama. Ua no.
Mahalo. Vela no ke kino ka maona ka opu I maona no ke opu I ke loa ka makua. Tupa kai ka kōna ka mahalo. Wanao aia. Ka kako ka aia me ke aloha. Mama Wanoa. Please, at any point, if somebody, if your opu is growling, please can help yourself. Wanoa. Ka papa aina in front of you. Ke olu olu. Pea mai nei ka kako mau minuke e Regina he mana o paha kao e pili ana no I nga minuke no ka kako halawai.
Ane ane pao nga minuke a pao. The ones from last meeting is following a different format now. From July up until, from July 2019 onwards, we're now allowed to post audio recordings of the meetings. And that serves as our recorded minutes.
We're now allowed to do that.
Yes. So the written summary is provided in the binders. I think in one of the on one of the tabs. It's only about 4 to 6 pages long, as opposed to the usual written minutes, which are anywhere between 12 and 20 pages long. So in that regard, the recorded minutes afford like real time testimony. That has been audio recorded as opposed to written minutes, which could provide preferential treatment for some comments over others. So the recorded minutes are the ones that we are now going by instead of the written minutes.
Mahalo, and it's accessible how?
It's accessible on our website. So if you go to SHPTI, dlnr.hawaii.gov/SHPTI, and you look under the Island Barrow Council meetings, minutes, and agendas, you want to click under Oahu Island Barrow Council and go to the date of the meeting that you're looking for. So far, only the November audio files are posted, but I will be posting all of the ones from, what is this, October of last year up until October of this year on there as well. It takes time to like segment them and then put them up there because they're such large audio files. But they will be ready, if not by the end of this week, then by the beginning of next week.
Mahalo.
So those will all be accessible.
Mahalo. So, pila paha e ho'o kone e paha I ki apono ani nga minuke?
I nga makemake o ko, the ones from M are definitely complete, but the others, I still have to change it over to that new format.
Mahalo. Chair would like to handle the approval of minutes following our business today.
On support.
Hello, mo. Hoi kako I ko kako kule ana mua no ke ala. Oya ho I ke ko kako ka ana e pili ana no
I. Just for, I didn't see the next meeting. Next meeting posted. Kind of look at.
I think it's January 8th.
Eighth?
Yeah, January 8th, so it's in like 3 weeks.
So that's early.
Let me double check that. Yeah, January 8th, rather short. I think, when does BYU start? Because I think UH starts the following week.
We start at 8.
Oh, you guys start at 8.
On the Wednesday. So okay. That's my... I hate to move because of me, but that's... I mean, unless we can have quorum, but I know that I can... The 15th is good for me. But.
Okay.
15. Not good for me.
Not good for
any at all, yeah.
Oh.
It is?
Yes. Opening day of the legislature.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, if we...
The 8th hour, you can...
Yeah. That's the first day of instruction.
Yeah.
But if we can have quorum, that's okay.
Yeah.
All these...
And now, oh, all the...
Yeah.
Well, my cutie. Okay, you better call the work my cutie.
I'm pretty on the 8th.
Yes.
Oh, I'll be here on the 8th.
Okay.
15th.
If we can,
I'm not sure.
You know, he's coming, right? Maybe we could. If he comes, we can ask.
Yeah.
I can probably make arrangements. If it's better for everybody else, I can probably
be in two places at one time. Online or I mean, I could probably
clone
out of that Kuliana to take care of this. Yeah. So. But if. Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe we check with
him. If we can, let's shoot for the.
Yeah, I'll put it in there.
Okay. Olu. I'll go while and tell Ali when he comes. Hola, Umi.
Hi. Hey, yeah. May I say hello?
I think you know. At least for right now.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I need him on me a kuka panoi. Item A. Nalala, okay, Ani. Okulan,
yeah. Yeah, I think at our January meeting would be very timely to have a report on any legislation that might impact us in the coming year and years.
Okay. De la Paja. I know we could potentially have an update from the Office of Foreign Affairs and ask somebody to come.
Okay.
That'd be good. That'd be good.
Hopefully.
Ina
Oyamane.
Okay.
Lohewa Uha Alelea na Ikehiwai. Okay. Oh yeah. Hey, mom, yeah.
Anything else?
No, Leila. Oh, why are you? Oh yeah, what are you doing? No, because I know why you
are. I never did receive a resignation letter, but I read her statement on the October meeting record, which served as the official record of her resignation.
Hokan olelo.
Yeah.
Hopa wala no yakan hela nai.
Yeah. So we are looking for a wailoa.
Wailoa.
You can vote to impeach me.
Oh yeah. Polomoho ikako. Item B, information or presentation of lineal descendants burial treatment plan for Ivi Kupuna at Koya Ha'o Church Multipurpose Center. Kumo mai. Multipurpose Center building project. Ahupa aho no lulu mo kuokona aino ahunei TMK. Lua kahi ole kolulua ole kahi hiku. This is information and discussion on the above project.
Oh, you know.
Okay. No.
I'm just going to sit here in kokua.
Aloha kako, hale aloha ya. Te keke Reynolds le aloha ya, kumakua kane, mi kanawa hine o mura mo ni ke ala ka eo. Kumakua hine, mi keke Samuel ka imi na au au ka eo, lawa o Hilda na o hio ka maudu bisho. Mi keke Harry Ahiona ya ne, lawa o Paul ka maho ibi hapai. Mai hoole hua molokai mai au, a ka noho noho lao I Ana Eva Hilo Hawaiki. I'm going to lead off the presentation. We thought, we being recognized descendants, we thought it was important because of this case to revisit the history of what led to Act 306 and the passage of the burial law and the formalization of the Island Burial Council. This is important to know where we came from, because that's a clue on where we're supposed to be going. And sorry, this presentation got put together like an hour and a half before I flew out yesterday, so it's going to appear that way. Okay.
What the heck?
This is my kupuna kuakahi, the person for whom I was named for, the Reverend Edward Haliani Ani Ayao. I was fortunate enough to be alive when he was still alive. And we lived in his home. And because I was his namesake, I was his punahele, and I was protected. So I had like mean attitude towards my parents because I couldn't get rid of it. It was an awesome feeling. Anyway, that's where I come from, and that's the voice that you're hearing today. So this all began at a place called Honokohua, and I'm mindful of the council's time and the large agenda, so I'll try to get this through this as fast as I can. You know, the events that led to the amendment of the Historic Preservation Law took place at a place called Honokohua on the island of Maui. And why it's entitled the Reawakening is because as Hawaiians, we've always had the kuleana to malamina ibi kupuna. It's something that's instinctual to us. But those instincts got interfered with. There was this minor thing called the overthrow. And the taking of our country and the taking of our resources and our ability to be responsible. And that interfered and put us in the position we were. So in about 1988, there was an exhumation of Ibi Kupuna, approximately 1,100 individuals from a place on Maui called Honokohu in two burial areas. The purpose for those excavations and removal was to construct the Ritz-Carlton Hotel. And the particular structure that was going to go where the burial site was a parking lot. So here's the optics. Hawaiians, you're so irrelevant that we just as well put a parking lot where you kupuna have been buried for centuries. And so Honokohua happened. But from that anguish, let me continue that. After they dug up almost 1,100 people, Hawaiians from all islands descended upon Honokohua and occupied it and forced the landowner to shut it down. And then legislation was written. First year it didn't pass because a major developer called Bishop Estate killed it. And then the following year, when I got back from law school, it got passed in 1990. But what Honokohua did is it woke a sleeping giant. And the sleeping giant is the consciousness of the Hawaiian people of the kuleana to care for the iwi kupuna. But what it epitomized was what was absolutely wrong with the historic preservation review process. So if you had a burial site that had 1,100 people on your property, you could merely go to the state, get approval, and then dig them all up and move them. And that's what was wrong with the process. These disturbing events took place without prior notice to informed consent from lineal descendants. There was no, let's try to find families and, you know, consult them meaningfully on what should happen here. No meaningful discussion within the Hawaiian community and little regard for the sensitivities of the living.
and exposed the failure of the historic preservation process to protect Hawaiian burial sites. And it was incumbent on Hawaiians, not the state, not the system, to correct it. No different than what's happening at Mauna Kea. All right, next. So this is a song, Honokohua Nanie, that was written about this. Some of you may be familiar with it. The English words were written by Charles Ko'olewehi Maxwell, who was a member of Uimalama Inakupuna Wawaine. Timalia Craver wrote the Hawaiian lyrics. And the music was written by Kenneth Makua Kane, now Reverend of, or Kahu of Kaua'i Church. And what this song talks about is the reverence for this place at Honokohua and the real need to be defiant, to protect them in place. The last line, shall not be disturbed, the place where our kupuna sleep. So this very important puliana is captured in this beautiful, beautiful song that was recorded by Bananas Club. Yeah, I was going to say Bananas Club. Bananas Club. Okay, next. So, Honokohua happens. A bill is introduced. It doesn't pass the first year. DLNR decides it's going to set up informal island burial councils. Informal because the law didn't pass. But nothing stopped DLNR from organizing burial councils, but they didn't have any authority to make decisions. They could only make recommendations on burial-related matters. Chairman of DLNR at the time was William Patey. Don't forget that name because he left his mark on this program. So while you had interim burial councils, the next legislative session occurs in 1990, and we were able to get the law passed. The three principal authors of that law are Dr. Don Hibbard, Dr. Daviana McGregor, and myself. And we did consultations statewide. It was really difficult because at that time, the Hawaiian community and OHA wasn't getting along, partly because OHA green-lighted what happened at Honokohua through what's called a Memorandum of Agreement, an apropos acronym for such an act. Moa, by the way, needs chicken. Thank you. Try to keep it light when I can. But what we were trying to do then is how do we change the law so that it accurately reflects this responsibility that Hawaiian families have to their kupuna, recognizing that there's this disconnect. When lands are taken away, where families are disconnected from those burial sites, the ability to say that is Tutu's grave was greatly undermined. And so with the passage of the law, section 6043B says, all burial sites are significant. All. And shall be preserved in place until compliance with this section is met. And it says, except where provided, that's the inadvertent discovery section, 43.6. The appropriate island burial council shall determine, shall means must, whether preservation in place or relocation of previously identified Native Hawaiian burial sites is warranted. And here's the critical language, why it's highlighted. Following criteria, which shall include recognition that burial sites of high preservation value. So it starts off by saying they're all significant, and it says these are the ones that have high preservation value. The ones that may not fit those criteria still are considered significant and worthy of preservation. This is just telling you the top most significant ones to consider preservation. And the criteria include recognition that burial sites, such as areas with a concentration of skeletal remains, prehistoric and historic burials associated with important individuals and events, areas that are within a context of historic properties as defined by Chapter 6E, or have known lineal descendants, shall receive greater consideration for preservation in place. And then it says, this criteria shall be developed by DLNR in consultation with the councils, OHA, representatives of development and large property owner interests. You know, let me just comment real quick on that. When we first wrote this law, the tension wasn't between archaeologists and Hawaiians like it is, you know, on the continent. The archaeologists were all on the side of the Hawaiians. It was the landowners and Hawaiians. But then when we started the councils, I mean, some of the best reps we have are the landowner reps. Because the landowners all want either Hawaiians or people who have dialed into Hawaiian culture to represent their interests on the council. So this even worked out better than we even thought when we first started. So that criteria was to be developed, yeah, through this consultation process. I was hired to do that. I was hired away from the Native Hawaiian Legal Corporation and tasked with writing those rules. And it took 6 years, and some of my friends slash critics said, well, it took you 6 years to write these. But how can you write rules for a program that you're just developing? You don't even know what to address. And it was through the experience of the Island Burial Councils that we identified issues like photography, like physical examination. How do you identify lineal descendants? How do you keep confidential, sensitive information? I mean, there's a lot of stuff. And imagine, we were new to this. And so that effort started, and it took 6 years. In 1996, Makai Kano signed the Hawaii Leadership Rules into place. Okay, next. So HRS 6043.5 is the main statute, section of the statute that deals with previously identified Native Hawaiian burial sites. And section C says that the department, in consultation with the council, OHA, large landowner interests, shall adopt rules pursuant to Chapter 91. So this is the actual authority for DLNR to promulgate rules. Chapter 91 deals with administrative rules. Chapter HR 6043.5 F1 provides the council shall, and it lists what the council's authorities are. The main one that we want to address today is the first. Determine the preservation or relocation of previously identified Native Hawaiian burial sites. So, the critical thing to understand is the council only has one authority. Everything else that it does is in the form of a recommendation. But where it is exclusive in its decision, where the department cannot tell it what to do, has to do with the issue of whether to preserve in place or relocate a Native Hawaiian burial. So, if a burial treatment plan is presented to you and it has preservation in place, you kind of defer it because you have to first determine whether you're going to preserve it in place or relocate. Once you make that decision, all the other recommendations you can defer. That's the prerogative of the council. But you cannot defer the determination. That's your duty. Okay, next. And so, HAR, Hawaii Administrative Rules, Title 13, Chapter 300, Rules of Practice and Procedure Relating to Burial Sites and Human Remains. This is what took, and this is just the first page. I'm not that good with PowerPoint, so I couldn't figure out how to put two pages on. But this is telling you what the different sections of the administrative rules are that govern the actions of the Island Burial Councils. Okay, next. So, subchapter 4 in those rules, procedure for proper treatment of burial sites and human remains. The section I want to address here is 13.336, because those are the criteria for evaluating. So when a council is faced with its one major decision, preserve in place or relocate, this is a criteria that it has to follow to make that decision. You can't just say, all in favor, we're going to leave it in place. The reason why they cannot do that is because then that decision is subject to challenge, because they have to do it pursuant to these criteria. So I had earlier, in 43.6 pointed out the general criteria, right? But then it directs the department to promulgate rules to fine-tune those. And so this is the exact language of the criteria for evaluate. So this is the criteria the council uses to evaluate a request to preserve in place or relocate Native Hawaiian burial sites. After I'm done speaking, Kalihu is going to present our burial treatment plan, which includes our request to this council to preserve in place all Native Hawaiian burial sites at Kuaihaʻu Church. Of course, this is a unique situation because they've already been dug out of the ground. So preservation in place means putting them back where they were taken from, as opposed to consolidating them somewhere else. So the criteria that applies, the rule says previously identified native plant burial sites and inadvertently discovered native plant skeletal remains that meet any one. This is important now. Any one of the following criteria. It doesn't have to meet them all. It doesn't have to meet two of them, three of them. Only got to meet one. Shall be given greater consideration. So it's not telling you you must do it, but you got to give it greater consideration for preservation in place. Any one of these criteria is met. First one, when located in areas with a concentration of skeletal remains, we assert that this criteria is met by the situation at Kauai Hala because of the I think the estimated number of individuals represented is 700. 700. Honokua is 1,100. Criteria number two, pre-contact or historic period burial sites associated with important individuals and events. As recommended by the council, following consultation with known linear or cultural descendants. Number three, when located in areas within a context of historic property. So chapter 6E2 defines historic property as any site that is over 50 years old. Kauai Hall is over 50 years old. So by definition, that criteria is met. So one and three. Number four, where no linear descendants request preservation in place. We are requesting preservation in place. So that's criteria number four, but the third criteria that we believe is satisfied. Or where the landowner agrees to preserve in place. I'll leave that to Kauai Hala to respond to. Okay, next. Sorry, just reading. Like I said, right before I got on the plane. So this says, with respect to the criteria of B, when determining whether to preserve in place or relocate native Hawaiian burial sites, the council and the department, so these are additional considerations, that the council, with respect to previously identified, and the department, with respect to inadvertent discoveries, shall give consideration to the following. First, the cultural appropriateness of the proposal to preserve in place or relocate. We are asserting that it is culturally appropriate to put our ancestors back where our families intended them to lie. Absolutely culturally appropriate. Number two, these are considerations, not something you just have to think about. You're not bound to these. Any possible harm to the native Hawaiian skeletal remains if the burial site is left in place? We assert that there will be no harm if they are left in place, meaning put back to where they were taken from. And in fact, the harm came from their removal. And as families, we are proof positive of that harm. Number three, the request of non-linear cultural descendants to relocate. Right now, in terms of the recognized linear descendants, we are unanimous in the position to preserve in place. So none of us are saying relocate. And then for any reason presented by the applicant to relocate, any reason, a building, we're saying our kupuna are more important than them. Next. So one of my heroes in this entire Hawaiian universe is Dana Na'one Hall. This is somebody I've admired since I was still in college. Because she is just intelligent and fierce in her resolve to protect iwi kupuna. And this is a quote from her. Even in these difficult times when economic interests exert a seemingly all-powerful hand, what happens to our islands? It is still possible to claim places where our culture can revive, and the spirits of our ancestors and their iwi can rest undisturbed. Honokahua, a place of endings, was the beginning of my efforts to protect burial sites, a lifelong task to help make firm foundation from which we can continue to grow and thrive as a people. Economic interests exert a seemingly all-powerful hand in what happens to our islands. I chose that quote because it applies to a Kauai Hala situation. Our these kupuna, our families, got dug up because of economic interest. The impact of that is that it dehumanizes us. It says that our family sensitivities are not that important anymore. And that cannot be the basis for sound decision making or any way to treat a family. Next. So, closing thoughts. This is one of my favorite British guys. His name is William E. Gladstone. And he was a British statesman, a liberal politician. His career lasted 60 years, and if you Google him, he has some of the best quotes. I swear, I quote this guy all the time. But this is one that applies to this situation. Show me the manner in which a nation or a community cares for its dead, and I will measure with mathematical exactness the tender sympathies of its people, the respect for the laws of the land, and their loyalty to high ideals. The loyalty to high ideals that we are putting forward to you is the values of Ohana. Nothing more. This is about family. This unfortunate situation has brought us together as family members, and we are working towards giving our kupuna peace and therefore giving us peace. So with that, and I'll hand it off to Kalihua to present our Berchino.
So I have already handed Regina a copy for Shifty to review on this barrier treatment plan. This barrier treatment plan was prepared by cultural and lineal descendants that was recognized before your council. That would include the Ohana Akau, Makahila Hila, McGuire, Miyamoto, Hano Hano, Pane'e, McClellan, Fitzsimmons, Vasconcelos, Noble, Ohana Kala'i, Ayau, and Kateles. And we're submitting this as a state-recognized lineal descendants of Captain William Buckle, Leoiki, Niau Kololani, Abigail Kamayo Elwell Drew, Sarai Hivalu, Kiavia Mahikinimaka, Pai Kinimaka, Hayelo, Novello, Loe, David Leleo Kinimaka, Hana Hana Keola, Keoa Kala'au, Kaniu Kinimaka, William P. Lumahehe, Samuel Leleo Kinimaka, Mary P. Adams, Alice Ku Hui Hui Tonglong, Mary Kamaka, and David Kanuha. This burial treatment plan, we have 44 descendants, including Dana Hall as of yesterday, who has read and approved of this burial treatment plan. We have at least 30, we represent at least 30 of those 44 descendants as lineal descendants. As Hale Aloha previously stated, this burial treatment plan is intended to preserve our kupuna in place, as is the condition that they are now being held in the basement of Kauai Ha'o. This burial treatment plan addresses how they could and how they should be reinterred based on a cultural context. And so it was important that we note that, like Hale Aloha stated, this is the efforts of Ohana, simply Ohana, wishing to obey the wishes of the kupuna that was laid to rest there, and now the burden is ours to put them back. And so we, through this burial treatment plan, list the measures in which we are intending the methodology to put them back into the lua. I am not going to go into detail, but the expectation is that they be returned to the spot in which they were disinterned from. If there was any associated moipu with the kupuna, that those funerary objects also be returned with that kupuna. There is an instance if any funerary objects or casket hardware and such that cannot identify to whom it belongs, then we also have designated a place in the the footprint of the lua to reenter that as well. We have minutes dating back to 2006, where the church first started some consultation. We also have minutes reflecting that we continue to assert that we want our kupuna put back. But more importantly, our ohana have met 13 times since March because we understand the importance of putting our kupuna back immediately. Anything else I should cover? I feel otherwise that can be. We have provided the draft. The draft was sent out of the barrel treatment plan. I sent that out to Lani, asking her to pass it on to all recognized descendants. And then I had that sent over to both Shipti and all of you, so you've all had our barrel treatment plan since June 13th. We did offer up opportunity for a comment period. We did take into consideration the comments that we received by burial council members, took that back, met. All of that has been addressed in the burial treatment plan. We were tasked with coming up with a surface treatment plan because at the time that we submitted the draft, it did not contain a surface treatment plan. We were asked to reach out to the church. And we also added the language that said that there would be no building in perpetuity. And all of that comments came directly from these meetings at the OIBC. We addressed all of that in our burial treatment plan. We prepared a surface treatment plan as we were asked. We invited the church members to come and meet with us. The email was sent out on August 14th. Our meeting was held on August 31st. Auli'i was in attendance. Keiko was in attendance. Lani came. And Haunani. Mahalo. So we did have church representation there. We took into consideration the comments that they made. Those are also all reflected in the burial treatment plan. We did a subsequent site visit on October 5th to Kauaiha'o Cemetery. We all walked around the cemetery. We had an opportunity to engage with the members of the church that was in there, including Kahu. We took that all of that back, went back, met again, and those are all documented here for you. So we feel that we've met the obligation that you placed upon us in all of the times that we have all come and sat before you. If you have any questions, I can address that at this time.
Hi.
Mahalo nui for a presentation. The question is for Eddie, and it's a clarifying question. Mahalo nui for coming on with a great presentation. As one of the, I ask you as one of the authors of 13300. So in the rules, the applicant is can either be the landowner or lineal descendant.
Correct.
And so this is the first case, and once again, this is for clarification for me, that I'm aware of where the lineal descendants have written the burial treatment plan. So in those types of cases, since because this is the first one that happened across our area, those burial treatment plans written by lineal descendants, does it just pertain to the certain skeletal remains that the lineal descendant is connected to? Can it actually be a burial treatment plan for all 700?
All 700? So she said lineal and cultural descendants. Mm-hmm. So the cultural descendants is the connection to the rest of the Hui.
Okay.
And the Kuleana to Malama them all. And thank you for pointing out that this is the first time where the descendants put together the burial treatment plan. And part of that is just, you know, this has gone on too long. And if we're frustrated, imagine, I'm not even in a cardboard box in the basement of the church. Because if I was, I'd be furious. So the families decided that we have to take the Kuleana forward too. And so to answer your question, the burial treatment plan addresses them all.
We'd love to give the opportunity to the rest of the ohana that have been recognized and joined so that they can share their sentiments as well.
I just wanted to say, we also recognize that there's still pending lineal descendant claims. So whatever the action the council takes, if there are additional families recognized, then we're going to approach them and incorporate, you know, their thoughts into the burial treatment plan. But what we wanted to do, and to be real crystal clear about, is We are submitting our barrel treatment plan today. The rules say that the barrel treatment plan is developed with the department, by the applicant, with the department. The review is strictly for completeness. The department is only deciding whether or not all the issues that are supposed to be addressed are addressed. The merits of those issues is for you guys, not the department. So once SHPD says, okay, we deem this barrel treatment plan complete, then we'll make the requisite copies for the council for its consideration. But that will also come with our request for a determination to preserve in place. We do not believe that we have to wait for the completion of the review of the EIS, only because they're already out of the ground. So this is unique. Normally, preservation in place means they stay in the ground, you're deciding whether they stay or not. But in this case, they were removed, and the court determined that was inappropriate. So the preservation in place determination would mean putting them back where they were originally interred. And that's real critical distinction. So once it's accepted, we're going to submit requisite copies as the rules require and a request to trigger the 45-day decision-making window.
Mahalo.
I got a question.
Chuck up.
Great presentation, you guys. Thank you very much. Two questions. Number one, you said there are 700 remains. I've heard different numbers. Is it precisely 700 or more or less? Or
I can't say for sure because I wasn't the guy digging them up. But in reading the preliminary report, the assessment there, I guess that number keeps shifting depending on who the audience is. I went to one of the consultation meetings and I think Mr. Scheidler said there was, I don't know, 200. I mean, the number just keeps. But MNI, my understanding was, minimum number of individuals was at least 700.
And they all came out of that one rectangular puka in the ground?
No, they came from the different locations, including where they put in, they were going to put in
Utility lines.
That's what started it, right? The first 60-something remains. And we were coming to the OABC just dealing with those. And then the year-long Ho'oponopono followed. And then after that, they dug up the rest.
Yeah, I remember that. One question for you. You said you asked for comments. Have you ever received comments from church representatives?
No. Not comments based on the barrel treatment plan that we sent. We did have comments when they were at the meetings. Those are all listed in our minutes, and those have all been addressed. So we did get comments solely from Keiko and Haunani at the meeting that we held, that they attended.
But these were not applied directly to the burial treatment plan?
No, their comments was specific to the surface treatment only.
Thank you.
Mahalo.
I was just going to say mahalo again for the work that's been done on this, but also the work that's been done before. And just to reiterate, like we were here a year ago, right, Auntie, and Kahu was here, and I saw you, Honey, and I felt like, oh, there's light at the end of the tunnel, but we're still here. So I'll reiterate this. However we can help to facilitate to make this process and commonsensical in my mind again to put them back in place. So what you've said makes a lot of sense to me. Kind of common sense. So mahalo.
Mahalo. Question. What do you think might account for the varying range in the number that has been put forward?
You know, it would almost be irresponsible for me to try to answer that because that's not my training.
Should I redirect the question?
Yeah, I mean, I think Mr. Scheidler would be more qualified or someone from Culture Service Hawaii who was part of the archaeological team could answer that. Because I don't want to get it wrong.
Mahalo. Aloha. Scheidler, Kanaka. Ke olu olu. Oveve iki mai ke olu olu. No ke ala ke kumu wa. Ko a iki na ke kaheluna ona iwi kupuna i ha'i ia a i kuka kuka ia.
Aloha. Let the record reflect that Vice Chair Hauli'i Mitchell is now present.
Mahalo.
Aloha.
economically, but I maintain that a full answer to your question is available in the draft burial treatment plan that I believe has been made available to, in the draft archaeological inventory survey that has been available to every least recognized descendant and every member of the council. The short answer is the best consideration is 503. Haleiwa referenced the M&I, which is something very specific. Three M&Is were estimated. Those numbers are significantly less. But my answer to you is 503, approximately. That has been fairly consistent. That is what is in the archaeological inventory survey with explanation as to how that number was arrived at.
Mahalo.
Can I ask a follow-up question?
Yes.
So does the plan identify where each of those 503 individuals were disinterred from?
The archaeological inventory survey provides location information on where all designated burials were disinterred from.
Is everything that was removed from each burial present with each individual?
We seem to be on a trajectory of questions from this side of the desk. I prefer to answer questions from the council.
Mahalo.
Your disrespect is duly noted.
Council will redirect the question that has been made regarding funerary items that were found with burials. Would you care to comment on this?
That items of personal use associated with the deceased were kept with the deceased remains.
Mahalo.
That wasn't my question. My question was everything associated with the burial, is it with the individual? Or did they separate stuff out?
Council redirects the question to David Scheidler. Any comment?
Not all of the coffin remains in each and every case were kept with the remains.
Mahalo. Did you request further?
Just trying to let that one sit for a while. So let me also say for the record that, you know, there's despair amongst the families that the lepo in which these kupuna were buried in were not carefully looked after so that they could be used in the reburial of these kupuna. No better reason than they contain the mana of each of these individuals. And to have misplaced them or, you know, whatever happened to them is indicative of the actions taken in this case. And it just adds to the coma of the families. We gotta live with that. And we have to mihi with our kupuna that we weren't vigilant enough to make sure something like that didn't happen. And that's, I mean, this is not a job for us. This is Kuleana.
That's a follow-up of
Ali.
How specific is the locational information for each of the burials?
In X and Y coordinates, latitude, location, relative to east, west, north, south, is very precise. There's less certainty of depth. But there's not that much depth involved. The depth involved is never more than about 6.5 feet. So in terms of depth, we're never off by more than a couple of feet.
So if the descendants requested that they put exactly or as close to exactly where they were, that information would be available and that could be done with some amount of precision then?
Yes.
Thank you.
Mahalo. He mauni nau e a e ko ke ia aha nei. Ai anei he mau mana o no mai na o hana. O mala palai.
Yeah, so I just want to comment on what was just said and the question that was just asked. Because we know our people are not going to go back from where they came from.
to the internet. We know it's impossible to put them back the way they were taken out. We know that. We also know that this company that was paid money to take our kupuna out, very kapulu, in many instances, already been brought before the council. So the level of trust and the level of the desire to do what is right for our kupuna is going to be left up to those of us who help get them home again to the best of our ability. And pray that they find peace again. They should never have been disturbed in the first place. So any answers that come from that side of the room about precision and exactness, there's no precision here. There's no exactness. The only thing that we got is to do the best we can to get them home to the best of our ability. They are never going to be the same. And so that kuleana and that koma is going to be for me personally to be with me. This is not something that is going to heal. Not for me for a long time, but the kuleana that I have taken and the position I've always taken is, can we just get them home? Why is it taking so long? And Kali said 1 year ago, Kali came up here, we thought it was good news, we're going to get started. So today, I'm so grateful everyone's here to help us plow through some of these rules and regulations, clarify things. That doesn't guarantee anything, but hopefully it makes the case for kupuna to go home stronger today than it was a year ago. And so for me, I just want them home. That's all I want. I want them to go home. And I want them to be at peace again. And so the issue of time is very important. They've been in the basement for way too long in God knows what kind of condition. And I say it's poverty. So I would implore this council to cope with us another way that you guys can. Please, cope with the kupuna.
Hello. Hi.
Aloha.
Aloha.
When my siblings and I sat at that table, at that particular meeting, it was asked that as we enter into these discussions with these ohana, that the hakaka stay outside. I'd like to point out that it did. I'd like to point out that our ohana took out time from our individual, at this point in time, 7 to 8 ohana that have been gathering. 13 times too many. We met with the church. We met with each other. Hakaka stayed out the door. We came into these meetings with the utmost respect to all of you, to each other, and as much as we could to the church. At times, that respect was not returned. And still, I would like to say that with the amount of kaumaha and anger that each of us carries. We represented ourselves in a way that is of the utmost dignity to the people that we represent, which is our kupuna. They are who carry us. They are why we are here. And it is they who continue to lead us to have that respect. Being that we've conducted ourselves in this way, this amount of time, what else do you need to see? What else do we need to do to get them home? Who else do we need to prove ourselves to? We've proven ourselves to the people that matter the most, and they're saying they want to go home. Our ohana has been together this entire time. We will continue to hold on more together. We will continue with the ohana that continue to be recognized and seeking them. Their kupuna, I hope, are being represented well by our voices, and we look forward to having their voices heard as well. We've done all that we can, conducted our ways in the most dignified ways that we can. What else needs to be done? It's time. Returning home.
Mahalo. Mahalo nui au e no ko maumanao. No ka mikolo lohua. O ka oha I o lelo. Mahalo nui au kou. No ka ho kupaha. Koloko mai kai. Ame ka olu olu. O iai no. Ke kau mahanui. Nui koi koi. O keia kuleana ni. Rest assured that this council will aspire to meet the expectations of the recognized descendants towards this project. I am sure that all the council members have heard everything that has been said. Now, we are following the process in a methodical and logical way. Chair acknowledges the brief review of the history, and all chair also recognizes Mahalo Nui. Kohono Kahua is where half of my family is from. And so it is with their voices that I personally sit here and endeavor to serve this council and all of you. So again, now we follow this process, and as you pointed out, when we assert the will of this council, we must articulate it as such so that we ensure that we articulate the criteria that is met according to this council's decision. And it has been reviewed here for us today. Thank you for that support. We also look forward to the families that have yet to be recognized, that you two will also have the opportunity to sit down with everyone at any and all of your mana'o, will have a chance to be put together with the already recognized descendants. We hope that we will complete this task today. Are there any more ohana that wish to come in?
I'd just like to say that the archaeologist said 503 burials, but according to the archaeology inventory survey, there's 624 burials.
Mahalo. Aia nei he mau mana'o, ai ole he mau mea ea e. E nga ohana
Aye.
Aloha. Just a brief comment. It doesn't matter if there were 100, 200, 300, or 1,000. It's just that they were taken up in such a heva manner, something that never should have happened. So honestly, the number of Ibi does not matter. It matters to us because we know that's our ohana. But as far as making a determination, less versus more, etc., I would hope that that doesn't even come into play, and it should not, because the number doesn't matter. It's the actual act that occurred that is so heavy that it's unbelievable.
Mahalo. To respond to that, I think this council is very clear that the specific numbers should not matter at all. As a matter of process, questions were asked, we redirect the question, and we heard a response. Mahalo. Yamau mana'o e'ai. Hi.
We have one final request, and that is pursuant to the council's authority to make recommendations on any burial-related matter. We humbly request the council to recommend to SHPD, because we believe jurisdiction over these Ibi Kupuna is with SHPD, and that they direct Kwaihawa Church to allow us access for purposes of beginning the process of inventorying the size of the, because a number is meaningless unless we know how much is involved with each individual, so we can begin putting together the reburial materials, which some of the families have started to do already, so that we can, while we're waiting for a decision to be made, we are already preparing for their reburial. And we also recognize that descendants are still being recognized, and we would not initiate that process if granted by the SHPD until that recognition process is over, and then we know who all of the families are, and then we move forward together. But, you know, the families have made it crystal clear that we're not going to wait around for this to happen. One, you know, it's incumbent upon us to make it happen, and the reburial materials, given the large amount of individuals, is going to be substantial work, and we want to engage in that work now. Partly because there's healing in doing the work to Maulana. It helps release the Eha. It helps release the Kaumaha. You know, we never do this, but it got done to our Kupuna, which means then that it's the Eha is on us as well. And this is our way of releasing it by doing this Hanamu. But it requires us to have access to that. And I know that was allowed in some instances and not allowed in others. And we assert that it is SHPD who has authority over those Ibi Kupuna, and that access to them should not be withheld by the government.
Mahalo. He mau mana'o e'ai from any of the current recognized descendants. Thoughts or other considerations from others who are present in the room? Hi.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Aloha. We have pending this message came for this new project. I want to start first and foremost by saying mahalo to all of these descendants who have been working hard on all these years to malama this kupuna. Mahalo for you. And acknowledge you for what you've done there. I want to also acknowledge the fact that it's been brought up at the even last meeting, like Hale Aloha, about the Eha, again, involving the Kaumaha that we all deal with when our Kupuna are not disturbed. And we've seen many ways that it has affected our specific families. And so mahalo again for you to really get Kupuna back there. One additional question, we also recognize the efforts put into for them this the determination to preserve in place in this crazy situation where they've already been removed, and understand the importance of trying to put them back with the most precision possible. And so Mr. Schreider mentioned that there are GPS coordinates that we used to identify the locations of where each of these Kupuna were removed from. I'm curious, I know this doesn't necessarily help anything too, but what's the level of accuracy on the GPS units that were used at that time? I know a lot of them come with maybe a plus or minus 3 meters accuracy on those devices, which equates to about 9 feet or taller than an individual could be. I know there are more accurate devices as well, so I'm curious as to what kind of accuracy do these was used in marking the burials where these Kupuna were taken from.
Mahalo for the question. Chair redirects this question to Mr. Schreider.
The accuracy is understood as quite high, significantly higher than 9 feet. I don't want to say sub-meter because I'm not sure that's correct in every case, but that is what the answer is.
Mahalo. Mahalo for your response. Hi.
Aloha.
Aloha.
So I would like to also ask Shagir, with all the Ivi Kupuna that was disinterred, were they identified by either numerical or alphabetical so that we could put them back in the, hopefully, the exact location so that, you know, when the time comes?
Mahalo. Chair redirects the question to Mr. Shaila.
Criteria were made to designate what we call a burial. If there were bones in anatomical position, that constituted a burial. If there were bones that were clearly placed, that constituted a burial. We have highly accurate locational information for everything that was designated a burial. There were disarticulated Ivi that were recovered that were not designated as a burial. They were disarticulated. The location of each of those is uncertain.
Is
not clear. But that those that were designated as burials were recorded in locational the locational information was recorded in detail.
Mahalo. One moment.
So he's saying that I could go in, see Ivi Kupuna, and say, okay, this is number one. Number one goes here. If they do not have their names, how are we supposed to put them back, put that Kupuna, that exact Kupuna, back to that spot that they came from? That's my question. Do any of them have names? If not, do they have a number designation to put them back in that number burial?
Mahalo. Chair redirects the question to Mr. Shaila for a response, if you should care to respond to it.
Sure. I think I heard different questions. The one that I would first focus on is, do any of the burials have names? And my answer to that is yes. And all information pertaining to the identification of the burials is in the draft archaeological inventory survey report that I believe has been made available to every descendant and every member of the council in detail.
Mahalo. Any further question? Mahalo. Hale aloha.
Yes, if you could ask Mr. Schreider, what would explain the disarticulation, the finding of disarticulated remains?
Mahalo, chair redirects the question to Mr. Schreider.
Sure. This area underwent a great deal of disturbance. Again, to be clear, approximately 117 burials were disinterred in 1940. That disinterment in 1940 was not done by archaeologists. It was not done with accuracy and detail. And we believe that there was a great deal of disturbance of the cemetery that occurred in the disinterment of 117 in 1940. we are pretty clear that there was a great deal of disturbance of previously interments in the course of later interments. That was another very significant force of disturbance of burials. They were disturbed in the subsequent burials. There was certain infrastructure that was placed and subsequently removed, most notably the KK Hall, built on the property in 1940, and the administration building built at the same time frame. We believe that there was disarticulation of human skeletal remains in the course of the construction and the removal, particularly in the construction of those buildings. There were other buildings. There was a boys' club, a fern house, that was built and removed. There was also a large amount of infrastructure, pipes, utility lines, that were placed within the cemetery that previously disturbed and disarticulated human skeletal remains.
Mahalo for your response. Mahalo. Any further questions or comments? Yes.
Dr. Noyalani Aaron from Punalu'u worked with him on our Ibi Kupuna, the 64 sets that we reinterred. My problem is that in going over the probate 2426 of Charles Kanaina, many of the family names who went into that grave were identified by name because he owned the land. And that's why his son's tomb is there. However, after the overthrow, everything was confiscated and received by government. They stole the land. And I have a problem with not knowing our kupuna, who's buried there, because there is one problem. The kupuna that I do know who is buried in Kauai'i, the tree was removed to widen the roadway, and I go there to visit Lunalilo and an 8-year-old baby every year. The tree was gone, her gravestone was gone, and the road was widened. So that's where I'm coming from, but I'm also in it for the long haul with Mana and his family, because I kind of left that to Paulette and her family, because we're very busy on our side still yet.
Mahalo. Hi.
Aloha. Nasa aina lani nuwo and akili maka ohana. And I just wanted to thank everybody who's here today, Regina, the council, the gentlemen here that are part of the archaeology company. And I just wanted to also provide out the church from the last experience that we had when we went down into the basement to visit the kupuna at Tawai Hall. That was this last June. We saw that all of the baskets and all of the remains that they had were wrapped in ohala, and they all had a metal tag on them. And I have personally asked the church, and I'll, you know, we'll continue, I think, to pursue that in our effort to match those metal tags that they have on those baskets to some of the coordinates as well as the overall maps that we look at. The earliest maps that I think we have are dated in the 1920s, and it's also really clear in many of the maps in the AIS that there are very specific areas where the kupuna came out of. But I really don't want us to get too caught up in the kaumaha of those details and to be able to look at the overall goal and the vision and know that our intentions are clear and our intentions are very pono, and that's to go down there, make contact with those evil, and let that process start to happen and unfold, because there's a very, very big open area we need to go back to. And again, we are really, really clear and asserting that we'd like to start making that contact on a regular basis and have this decision be honored that they're preserved in place, and it's a pretty simple request. Thank you.
Mahalo. I'd like to respond to that. Yes, it is a simple request. As a matter of procedure, as was pointed out to Hale Aloha, the information which he has focused on today will help to ensure that when we do make our recommendation, that it is done so in a manner that will help to solidify that recommendation. The subsequent understanding that we need to do so, we need to make this recommendation. According to our agenda today, this is information and discussion only. It does not necessarily say that we are going to do any decision making, and that is primarily for all of your benefit. So the chair does acknowledge that yes, we have waited for a very long time. When I first came on to the council back in 2008, this is one of the first and most challenging and most grievous of issues that has come before this council, and remains so until they finally are returned home. So we look forward to the next follow-up steps now that this draft borough treatment plan has been submitted. I'd also like to acknowledge all of you. Thank you for coming together to do what you have done. I would also like to echo the sentiments of our council member, Kamana Olana, that yes, it is the first time that we have seen that the descendants have rallied to this cause, and that you have procured the borough treatment plan. So mahalo for your time, your diligence, and your efforts to ensure that everybody came, as we heard said very eloquently, that you have all set aside the opportunities to duke it out for whatever reason, and you have all come together to work towards one common goal. Mahalo. Aye.
So, I just gotta say one more thing. A year ago today, actually 2 years ago, I was able to speak to my friend Kamali Kabeki, who I just have to bring her into the conversation, because it wasn't for her. I may have done some really dumb things, just instinctually, so angry, so frustrated, and she saved me a long time from even contemplating doing those types of things, because she told me, you can think of the kupuna. It's the kupuna you want to think about. That's your priority. And she helped me. She taught me. She befriended me. And she watched over me. And she got arrested with me. She didn't need to get arrested that day. But her mana and her aloha for kupuna was always never questioned. She was our warrior in front line for many of our kupuna. Always. And I just have to say that I have to mahalo her. And I know she's still with us. I miss her terribly. And smaller for her leadership, her aloha, her kupuna. Because I probably wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for her, to be honest. I continue to want to follow her example and her leadership and her teachings. Because she'll call you out in a flash if you need to be called out. She'll call you out. No apologies. And she also put your arm around you if you needed to acknowledge you. So for me, this who taught me many, many, many things about this kuleana. And if she hadn't put her arm around me, I would have jumped. Tell me, many times. I would jump right across the table. And I would have done something really stupid. So, for those of you who do not know Ka'anui Kalikini, go find out who this lady is, continues to be today. She is my guiding light.
Mahalo. Chair, I would like to echo those sentiments. For it was Ka'anui that also, through her guidance and through calling me out, and through so many different times, where took me a little while to figure out how she approached things, and it took me a while to learn her logic, and it took me a while to see. And there were times where I had to really sit and think. And so I personally acknowledge her as well for her insight and tenacity, her conviction, her spirit. We didn't always agree. However, that's okay. Hawaiians should not have to agree. Why do we have to agree? Americans don't agree. Look at what they're doing now. Right? So Hawaiians shouldn't have to agree. I believe it's a sign of great intelligence when we don't agree.
Yeah.
But I acknowledge her, and I call her spirit into this room as well. Were it were not for her, I probably would have struggled a whole lot more. So, mahalo. At this time, Chair acknowledges. Vice Chair, you have a question or two?
Yeah. I actually want to acknowledge Auntie. Because she taught me the true essence of what Kaya means. It's not just to be called by the physical voice, but it's to listen to the voice of our kupuna. And that's how come I'm here. Because I heard through the leo to come and serve. So that's why I'm here. My question I have is directed to David Scheidler. You began a few questions back, and your first words out of your mouth was, what we call burials. I find that dividing. I find it unfair for all who is here and has been here to support the kupuna who have been removed from Kauai Hau. A fragment listening to Kali Aloha bringing about the question of disarticulated fragments. Just a fragment is one whole burial to us, not just how one sees a burial. So I find it offending. Deliberation is very important here at this time. We must be very clear in what we're saying so we're not divided again. You've divided us already, and that thing to me divides us again. That's all I have to say.
Mahalo. Ayane he mau mana'o, he mau mea ea'e. Ko loko kulumine.
Well, do we need to do an official recommendation to the Shifty to have the descendants be granted access. Do you need us to do that officially? Or was requested?
We can make that. We can make that request of them.
Motion to recommend to Shifty that the descendants get allowed access. Is that the right? What's this? Is that to the EV? How is it in the basement?
Once the completion of the process to identify descendants, we don't want to start that until.
Could you please restate the question to include upon completion of this final? Yeah. Chair acknowledges that the recognitions for all the boroughs in the project that come before us have not been given or put on any kind of time constraint. At any time, someone can come forward. However,
but the logic of it is like it's a cemetery, right? So if in any other cemetery, you can go and visit, right? I mean, I'm assuming that's the logic. So those who are already recognized, as well as those that would be recognized, would that be? I mean, that's what I'm thinking we're recommending, right? That,
yes, but I mean, I think what is the intent of. Would you care to clarify the intent?
So the intent, not so much that it's a cemetery and therefore if you went there you would be able to see them. It's that the families are really now feeling that Kahia from these Kupuna to hurry up and malama them. And that voice and that connection is getting stronger. And so we want to make sure that we have their access to them as a matter of kuleana, not as a matter of right, but as a matter of responsibility.
Mahalo.
And that's the basis for it.
Mahalo. One moment before we continue on with this request. Is your colleague outside the door? I believe that there's some chairs. Is there at least one or two chairs available? Okay, can we make room, everyone? Thank you. Mahalo. Oh, and mahalo nui for the whole kupu that you have left us. It is only expected.
To me, the logic of granting access, if it's been denied, would be problematic because it's like, well, I mean, if they were still there, you could. Right, that, I mean,
okay.
Does that make sense to me? That's the logic for the church to like, hey, come on, let's be real with you. If they were still there, they could be visited. Right now, they cannot be. I mean, that's common sense to me. So I would say motion to recommend that the church enable access to the Ihu Kupuna house in the basement as requested.
I'll second that.
Mahalo. And for clarification, by share?
Yeah, to also put in upon recognition or proposed recognition for our new cultural descendants to the
Mahalo. Is this satisfactory to the current recognized descendants as well as the one family that we have pending? Is there accord with this desire? Mahalo. It has been moved and seconded that this council urge the church to grant access to the Ibi Kupuna. I care not to necessarily push us to be deemed inappropriate or unprofessional. Chair could say, grant access. But we urge the church to take this into diligent consideration that there should be no clear reason why access cannot and should not be granted. So this council, all in favor?
Aye.
This council requests that the church grant access to the recognized descendants for the purpose of
visitation and other kulana that they may need to do. Keiko, are you the sole representative of the church
right
today?
Right now, Bill Holloway is outside. I don't know if he has run out, but I will certainly get him. I do want to say, however, that we do have practicing things to allow recognized descendants to visit. Only with the coordination, however, they get a request, and then we allow the record. That's why they have visited back in June. So we do have a process. Now, in terms of any other thing they would like that you guys just mentioned, I don't know what that is. And I'm sure you're talking about the further preparation. And we can talk about that. But in terms of visit, we have not, except on one occasion, we have not disallowed any visits.
Mahalo. William, will he be coming in?
Outside.
We will give one of these chairs.
Could someone call him, please?
I just respond to what Kiki just said, because she did say, with the exception of one, that's me. I've been denied the right to visit Nakupuna for reasons that are not true. And so that's never been resolved. I've asked for help from Shifty and whoever else could help me to clarify exactly what it is the church, what is their right to deny my visit to my kupuna based on what? Some falsehoods that I may pose a danger to the church, which I have never done, or may I pose danger to the kupuna, which I would never do, to the point where their lawyer wrote a letter outlining that whole bunch of crap. To this day, not been able to go and visit them. I don't believe it's about anything that I might do. I believe it's a personal decision. Regardless of the decision, the reasons they're denying my ability to visit are false. And I've never been able to address that with anybody. Having said that, if the church and their lawyers are going to maintain that I am a danger to anybody at Kauai Ha'o, and therefore I cannot visit my kupuna, I am not going to stand in the way of other ohana coming and visiting the kupuna for kuleana, because it'll just delay the process. I'm not going to fight them over it. But I would like them to really be honest about their reasons why they deny my ability to visit.
let me contribute to what you have just said. I'd like mahalo for joining us. Let me speak to the elephant in the room. And I'll be as candid as I can. I believe the reason why, you can correct me if I'm wrong, William, Keiko, the reason why access was denied to Kamuela Kala'i is because she is deemed as a risk to what you may perceive as the sanctity and the safety of the areas that belong to the church. Why? Because she is vocal. Because she speaks with untempered fire and with no need for any restraint of any sort. And she has demonstrated this consistently. Speaking to the elephant in the room, she has demonstrated on the outside very clearly how she feels about this issue. I will not speak for my council members, but I have seen this time and time again in this room.
And we've had many discussions about this.
I ask the church to please. I don't think that Kamala Kala'i will go inside to tear down the church. I don't think that she will go and run away with any Evie Kupuna because she doesn't have enough bags to go stuff the baskets in. And I don't think that she's going to go anywhere with anyone because they are on the ground that they need to be. They're just not in the right location. But I think that it is quite unfair that because somebody is deemed to the sentiments that are in authority to say yay or nay, because it is church, quote unquote church property. And yes, concerns would be valid if you're not sure of how you will be treated or how you will be spoken to or how you will be addressed. But to continue to deny access to this one individual will continue to not only promote but provoke these kinds of volatile engage. And I think that perhaps a little greater consideration should be given, especially to her, because I would expect no less from someone who will fight and advocate for the kupuna that she has put herself out to stand up on their behalf. And I commend you for doing so. Your fire reminds me of my grandmother, so I understand you. Thank you for being you. Please, that's the elephant in the room. Because you think that she doesn't behave, doesn't necessarily mean that you should not allow her in. Should I say any further? I mean, I think that's pretty much it. She pretty much gonna, if the more you keep her away, I would speak more frankly, the more you keep her away, the more she's gonna attack you. She's gonna accost you, she's literally gonna stab you with her words. And it's not gonna get any better. So there's only a short more time, amount of time that it will take for this council to follow the procedures now that are before us. That's the amount of time left. But in what time that there is?
But she'll also hold back in the interest of returning the Evie because it's not about her. That's what she just said. So
I need to clarify something. That's I have never threatened anybody to church, ever. I have never and will never ever threaten our kupuna. Ever. And anything I may have said or done, any of my actions, my words, my deeds, because they're loud, because they're full of fire, because I speak my truth, I'm not afraid to say what I need to say in the way I say it, pales in comparison to what the church has already done. Pales in comparison. No comparison to the heva and the pain that they have caused to our kupuna and our ohana. So if my voice gets louder, it's because
I hope they hear me eventually. Because I don't think they hear, I don't think they understand, I don't think they care. And so I could whisper all of this and maybe see if that made a difference. But that's not my style. I want everybody to know where I'm coming from. I want you to see me before you hear me. Right? Hear me before you see me. Because that's how passionate I am about doing the right thing for our kupuna. And if they don't like it, too bad.
Ikako.
Yeah, I want to call this because in that passion, in the wawa haleo, there is meaning. And correct me if I'm wrong, members of this council, there has been meaning by her here. And I have been taught in my church life that to kala, to forgive, is one of the foundations of the church. And if we cannot kala each other, with all respect, I was about to get there. But there has been both ways we have seen here. And maybe not everyone has been here at that times, but we have to go by what is taught by the Lord and go what is in our passion, in our na'au, to speak for those who we cannot see anymore, who we deeply love. So my recommendation, advice, is to forgive someone and allow them in. Because until you do, as Kumuhina says, you cannot go forward. You cannot move. You cannot correct this wrong. It's just going to be same, same, same. So that's just my manao to talk over that.
I'm going to speak.
Yes.
Because Kalei spoke and said that she's not done anything to harm anyone at Kauai Ha'o Church, East of Aupuna. But if you recall, it on YouTube, also in many of the social media, not too many years ago, when she disrupted, she came into an Ali'i Sunday service honoring Ka'ahu Manu'i, the mother of our child, of our church, the one whose last breath was an utterance for us to become one in Christ. During that service, she invaded the service, the sanctity of a worship service. So, and she had to be, and I will say that Kalei Kini was brought in as well to bring Kalei out. And both of them were arrested that day. And she says she's done nothing to hurt anybody at Kauai Ha'o. Month after month after month, we've come here to this burial council to be bashed relentlessly. And we've sat quiet. We've sat forgivingly and prayerfully. And you ask us why we're being careful about allowing her. We have our policies to protect our church, to protect our property, and to protect our Ibi Kupuna. That is the reason why. And she has already stated she cannot. She will get louder and louder. You've attested that she will get louder and louder until we let her. Well, we're waiting for the day when we see the mihi in her heart that you're asking us to continue to, and we have already been doing that. We're waiting to see, and that's the only thing, is when we can see there is a change of heart and that was directly asked. But there has not been, as you can see even today, there's not been a change of heart.
So, okay, come here. So this is the thing, that is that instance that she was in a church through the time of respect for Ka'ahu Manu. Is that the mihi you're looking for?
No.
But I'm saying it's the core of your mihi. Is that? And if you're waiting for that, that has not been covered to be able to forgive, that's my question. Is
we
that what you're waiting for?
Past that time. But when she says things that are not true, they need to be corrected. Because they have been very invasive.
They're waiting for it.
Mahalo. Motion to go to item C. Just, we have, my eyes are right, we have two items. And I mean, with respect to everybody, I'm not trying to shut anyone down, but. We should probably move forward.
If chair indulges, okay. Chair has had it. As a person responsible for the conduct of this meeting and the flow of this meeting, if we decide to move on, I don't want anybody else, especially from item B, to say that not enough time was given, so that I'm going to truncate something in the interest of moving forward. I don't want to do that. But I will say this. Will there be amiability if we move on momentarily?
Just need to clear the record. So I'm just going to clear the record very softly, very gently.
I never went into the church. I was blocked from going into the church. And once I got blocked, I go sit down on the steps and I go pray. I never went into the church. I never made any noise in the church. He said, you can't come in, Auntie. You're going to get hurt if you go in. So once I got that message, I'm going to sit on the church steps. And that is when Mr. Hawley told the cops, take her away. I wasn't doing a darn thing. For the record, that is the truth. And you can go check the YouTube videos, because Ponopiello was there videotaping the whole thing. Okay? So, Ho'oponi Poni don't come from this side of the line. Okay? I'm not sure what's happening on that side of the line. But I just need to clear that up.
Mahalo. Nā kia kua kākou e loi loi. Āle nā ke kanaka, nā kia kua kākou e loi loi. I nā pēlā kamanao, un ka hale pule. Ke olu olu. Chair, once again, strongly urges you. We cannot look forward to anything positive if all of the descendants are going to be able to schedule time to go in, and Kamala Kala'i is not included with them. Descendants, any sentiment of kako or ku'e to this?
We support access for all recognized descendants, and it would be disrespectful to us and our kupuna when we come forward as ohana to be prevented from engaging with the kupuna that we are here to claim and return. Kamuela should be included with us. Now we have a common understanding that every single one of us will do whatever it takes, even if that means excluding ourselves at any point in the process, because we all know that the kupuna is what is why we come here, and as not as individuals, we are irrelevant about that. But she is essential to the process. She's been a part of this. We've done it. We've struggled through it. We've cried about it. We've mingled. We've done everything in between. So we implore Shivdi to intervene and make assurances that we can all have access.
Mahalo. Mahalo. Aloha.
I just wanted to say, if we could recognize the what we're experiencing, Kaumaha. So this is what happens when you dig up our kupuna. If we are the sum of our ancestors and they got dug up, it's going to disturb us. And so this manifestation, you may not like it, but it's as real as it gets. This is Kaumaha. And her point is, we didn't create it, but we're left to deal with it. In the traditions of our kupuna, how did they formalize conflict against another family? Well, one way we know is cutting down coconut trees. Why is that? Because it's vai in those trees, in those coconuts, and vai's life. So they cut that down as their way of declaring war. Another more profound way was to dig up the bones of your bodies. So what you're sensing is that tradition, that her kupuna do not appreciate being dug up, and that hurt is being manifested through her. So if the manalo is, oh, she needs to mihi for her behavior, I agree. Church first. Mihi for what was done to our families, and then let's move together forward. We still want Hawaiian people. We cannot let stuff like this fracture us. But we got to find the courage within us to say, I forgive. I think the chair said it eloquently. That's our only way forward. Only way forward.
Mahalo. Chair once again reiterates the urge of request that this council makes to the church. Please allow our recognized descendants, as well as the pending recognitions that we hope to get through today, to schedule their times to come and visit and to be present with the Kupona that await to go home. That is the request of this council. We humbly put it before you today.
We made a motion and passed the motion.
Yes.
To the DLNR. And I support that motion, and I knew Keiko said it very well, that several months ago we were in this room and church representatives said that access to the evening down there in the basement would be allowed. So when you cited your concern, I was concerned that what's going on. Therefore, I thought, therefore the motion. And that's why I supported it.
Mahalo. Thank you for the clarification. Any further stipulation before we move to item C?
Item C?
Don't feel pressure from the people who are going to represent item C to bring it forward. Take care of this if you don't have
to take care of it. Mahalo. Item C. Draft burial treatment plan.